Today on Real Radio.
You commit sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is what? Guilty of the whole thing.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues his topical series on the Ten Commandments. It's often noted that the first part of the Ten Commandments are called the vertical commandments, if you will. In other words, they pretty much deal with our relationship with our Creator, whereas the rest of the commandments seem to deal with affairs amongst us, you and me. Well, Pastor Jack now examines what's truly the most controversial of the vertical principles, keeping the Sabbath day holy. Here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs with more on the fourth commandment.
Listen, you're going to keep the law like that. You better keep it all, baby. You better keep it all. You can't keep some of them. You got to keep them all. Why can't it redeem me, church? Mark that one down. Finally, it's to redeem. It can't redeem you. The Sabbath cannot redeem you. The Bible says in Isaiah chapter 1, verse 12, when you come to appear before me, listen up, everybody, this is intense. God says, when you come and appear before me, who has required this from your hand to trample my courts? Bring no more futile sacrifices. Incense is an abomination to me. The new moons, the Sabbaths, and the calling of assemblies, I cannot endure iniquity and the sacred meetings. God says, I'm sick of it. Oh, I keep this, I keep that. And your heart is far from God. You have no personal relationship with God. God said to Israel, don't even talk to me about this stuff. You're keeping all this stuff. I don't want to hear it anymore. Why? The law cannot redeem. If tonight you wanted to pick a different commandment, you want to go after the fifth commandment or the first commandment or the tenth or the ninth, what are you doing? You can't pick any of them and say, that's the one for me. It cannot save you. It cannot redeem you. Ladies and gentlemen, mark this down. This is a profound verse. It is shocking when you show it to either a legalist or someone who knows not the Lord. This is amazing. It's Jeremiah 31. Remember, many times I've told you that I really love David's life or Abraham's life because they had a born-again type relationship life with God. You want to know why? Listen to this, Jeremiah 31, 31. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant. What? A new one? We just got all messed up thinking we were keeping the first one. Nope, God says, nope, there's a day coming. I'm going to make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand and led them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to keep reading verse 33, but look at verse 32. You guys, I don't know if any of you get this. If you're Jewish tonight, you are freaking out right now because this is your prophet. This is your Old Testament. Your God is saying, I'm going to make a new covenant with you, Israel. Not according to the one that got broken in the wilderness with Moses and the children of Israel on Ten Commandments. Not that one, a brand new one. This one's different. If you're Jewish tonight, or if you're a legalist tonight, have you ever heard of God having a new covenant that's going to abolish the old? It's in Jeremiah. This is amazing. Verse 33 goes on. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. Here it is. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God and they shall be my people. Guess what? That is the exact same description of you tonight if you trust Christ. Is that amazing? That's why the New Testament tells us that there's no distinction between Jew and Gentile, male or female, free or bond. But all are one in Christ. That Jesus has broken down the middle wall of division. Isn't that amazing? That's wonderful. Why are you guys so quiet? Is it just me or what? This is exciting. This is amazing stuff. You look at the Ten Commandments, you say, yes, holy, wow, awesome. Understanding, though, they can't save you. They are fantastic. They are to be, as best as our ability, used in the conduct of relationship to our God by the way of his righteousness and holiness and kindness and respect and courtesy to one another, no doubt about it. But as it comes to eternal life and forgiveness, cannot redeem you. Galatians 3:10, for as many as are the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone who does not continue in all things written in the book of the law to do them. You can't do 9 commandments and break one. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. Yet the law is not of faith, but the man who does them shall live by them. Christ was or has redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us, for it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. What does that mean? That means Jesus was crucified on the cross, and God put upon him all of our sins, and that's why it says, cursed is the one who hangs on the tree, hangs on the cross. That the blessing of Abraham might come upon Gentiles in Christ Jesus, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. That is amazing. Point number 2. What the Sabbath can do. Number 1, the Sabbath can remind us of God's greatness. Matthew 12, verse 1 says, at that time, Jesus went through the grain fields on the Sabbath, and his disciples were hungry and began to pluck the heads of the grain to eat. And when the Pharisees saw it, isn't that funny? They're walking through the fields, and boop, there's a Pharisee, pop right out of the grass. They're like those little things you hit with the hammer. They pop up at the store, boop, you have to hit them. Pops up, oh, look, he says, look, your disciples are doing that which is unlawful to do on the Sabbath. But Jesus said to them, have you not read what David did when he was hungry? He and those who were with him? How he entered the house of God? That's even more important. And ate the showbread which was not lawful for him to eat, nor for those who were with him, but only the priest. Verse 5. Or have you not read in the law that on the Sabbath, the priest in the temple profaned the Sabbath and are blameless? Yet I say to you that in this place, there is one greater than the temple. What is Jesus saying? He's saying, you guys are so funny. You're running around poking your finger in everybody's face about this thing. And the priests are the one working on the very Sabbath day. So he's saying, in your mind's eye, the way you think, did you ever consider that the very priests that you want to hold up are sinning according to your logic because they're serving hard on the Sabbath day? Think about that. That's amazing. Jesus turns it right over on them. What the Sabbath can do is that it reminds us of God's greatness. Jesus says, I'm the one. Listen to this, Mark 2:27. This is one of the greatest verses. If you forget all the verses, don't forget this one. Mark 2:27-28. And Jesus said to them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is also the Lord of or over the Sabbath. Secondly, it can remind us of our weakness. What can the Sabbath do? It reminds us of our weakness. Romans chapter 7, beginning at verse 7. Romans 7:7 down to verse 18 declares, what shall we say then? Is the law sin? Certainly not. On the contrary, I would not have known sin except through the law. You don't know if you're speeding until you see the sign posted. For I would not have known covetousness unless the law said, you shall not covet. But listen to this. This is genius. But sin, taking opportunity by the commandment, my sinful nature, falls prey to the commandment, and it condemns me. It produces in me all manner of evil desire. For apart from the law, sin was dead. I was alive once without the law, but when the commandment came, sin revived and I died. And the commandment which was to bring life, I found to bring death. For sin, taking occasion by the commandment, deceived me and by it killed me. Therefore, the law is holy. And the commandment holy, just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin. was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know, verse 18, that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to the will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find. What is he saying? He's saying, I know what's holy. The law told me what's holy, but my flesh derails me. Paul is crying out saying, how is a man rescued from this? And that is by coming to Jesus. That is by knowing Christ. Thirdly, under this point, what can the Sabbath do? It can remind us of his standard. Simply put, of his standard. James chapter 2, verse 8, church. James 2, 8 says, if you really fulfill the royal law according to the scripture, you shall love your neighbor as yourself, you do well. But if you show partiality, you commit sin and are convicted by the law as a transgressor. There's not a human alive that has not showed partiality for self or for someone else. For whoever shall keep the whole law and yet stumble in one point is what? Guilty of the whole thing. Wow. And then we end with this. Number three, the fourth commandment is, speaking to us about this, is what his Sabbath means to us. This is the fun stuff. What his Sabbath then really means. What was God talking about? You know what's cool about this? Number one, church, listen to this. Have you ever thought of this before? You know, when we worship the Lord on Sunday, Sunday goes by another day. It goes by another title. Sunday is a pagan title. It's how did it go for the believers? Sunday is known as the first day of the week. Have you ever thought about what a week is? Who made that up? Think about this. All around the world, everybody, since the beginning of time. Don't you think it's odd? Why don't we have 4 days in a week? Why not? Why would that seem odd? Why not four? Who made up the rule that there's going to be seven? Oh, yeah, but people don't believe in God. Do you see his witness is everywhere, isn't it? Why not a 5-day week? Why not an 8-day week? God says it's 7. And with affection, it's actually with deep romance for Jesus, the early church on Sunday, the first day of the week, in honor of the resurrection Sunday morning, began worshiping Christ. Or I should say, that I don't want to use that term anymore, began worshiping Christ on the first day of the week. I should say came together corporately to worship the Lord because they worship him every day. But for those of you who think from a why, how is it all around the world, the witness of God, he has engineered in every culture in their hearts, there's a 7-day week. That's kind of fun to think about. It's kind of fun. It has nothing to do with our study, but it's fun. His Sabbath provides the ultimate rest. His Sabbath. I'm not talking about Moses' Sabbath. His Sabbath. John chapter 1, verse 16 says, for of his fullness we have all received grace for grace. For the law was given through Moses, but grace and truth came through Jesus Christ. His Sabbath, my friend, is a soul Sabbath forever. It's forever. What happened at the end when God says, okay, I'm done, I rest? It was an announcement that in his creation, he was finished, and so he sat down. What's interesting is that the Bible teaches us that there is another Sabbath to consider that's engineered by Jesus, and that Sabbath is not a day, it's eternal, and it begins with every day of your life. I think that's amazing. It's the ultimate rest. Listen to this. Romans 14:5. Romans 14:5 says, one person esteems one day above another. Another man esteems every day alike. Let each be fully convinced in his own mind. Remember, hold your finger right there. Leave it on the screens. Do you guys remember that story, Chariots of Fire? Eric, it's not Little, but it's his name is something like that. Is it Little? Remember, he's a Christian. And watch this. In the Olympics, he said, I can't run on the Sabbath. You're not supposed to run on the Sabbath. Now, theologically, he was not accurate on that. But he, you know, got famous from the movie, you know. But theologically, he was inaccurate. But look at that. Look what I just read here. Let each one be fully convinced in his own mind. He had a personal conviction for him that he was not to run on the Sabbath. Okay? That was his conviction. And so, between him and God, he honored that. That's a good thing. For him, perfect. Are you with me, church? Great. And by the way, God blessed him. He wound up winning the gold and he's famous. He loved Jesus. But he was convinced in his own mind that he shouldn't run that day. You might be fully convinced in your mind that you can't run on Tuesdays. Then don't run on Tuesdays. Don't violate your conscience before God. Verse 6 goes on, Romans 14, 6. He who observes the day observes it to the Lord. He who does not observe the day, to the Lord he does not observe it. He who eats, eats to the Lord. He who gives God thanks. And he who does not eat, to the Lord he does not eat and gives God thanks. It's all God's business. I love that verse. It's liberating. Ultimate rest. One of the greatest verses against legalism is Ephesians 2, verses 8 and 9. Ephesians 2, 8 and 9. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works or human effort, lest anyone should boast. Wow, that is awesome. And then look, next thing is this. His Sabbath guarantees eternal peace. Jesus Christ is our Sabbath. The Bible tells us right here. For if Joshua had given them rest, remember God was saying you got to enter into your rest, got to enter into the promised land. That's the rest. That's interesting, huh? Enter into the rest, but they were supposed to war against other nations. Think about that. They were entering into the promise. Would they have to fight pagan countries, nations? Yes. Have you entered into Jesus' rest when you came to know him? And do you not have to fight against spiritual powers and evil in your life? Just because you're warring against darkness doesn't mean you haven't entered into his rest. In fact, it's probably evidence that you have entered into his rest. It guarantees eternal peace. Hebrews 4:8 says, for if Joshua had given them rest, then he, God, would not afterward have spoken of another day. There remains therefore a rest for the people of God. For he who has entered his rest has himself also ceased from his works as God did from his. Let us therefore be diligent to enter into that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. Colossians 2:16. So let no one judge you, church, in food or in drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ. Do you know Jesus tonight? That's what he's talking to you about and challenging you about tonight. And then finally, we end right here. His Sabbath offers unconditional acceptance. Listen, the Old Testament Sabbath was for the Jewish people, ladies and gentlemen. I got to keep the fourth commandment. Are you Jewish? Do you not know Messiah? Yeshua HaMashiach, do you not know Jesus as Messiah? No, I do not know him as Messiah. So I'm keeping the Sabbath. I'm keeping all 10. That's what they're going to pursue. I understand that. I don't agree with it, but I understand where they're coming from. Because they have not yet just met Jesus as Messiah. I get that. But they do not enjoy unconditional acceptance. Time does not allow me to stress unconditional acceptance. If you're a Christian tonight, you have unconditional acceptance before the throne of God. What kind of day did you have? What kind of a day did you have? Was it a tough day? Was it a hard day? You know what? It doesn't matter regarding your identity. Were you so busy today that you even forgot you're a Christian today because you were so busy working in the mill or working at that store and you realized 4 hours later, wow, what a day. Oh my gosh, Lord, you're on the throne. Hallelujah. I got to get back to work. Hey, you know what? People have days like that. We have days like that. That's not sin. That's just busy. But then you realize, thank you, God. Unconditional acceptance. Do you love God and that you've been struggling and you've been falling down and you're miserable and you're struggling and you just can't stand yourself? Let me tell you right now, you have unconditional acceptance through Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior right now, right here before the throne of God. That's not to condone sin, but that's to liberate the condemned heart who trusts Christ. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ. It's very exciting. The seventh day, my friend, in a nutshell, reminds us of what God did at creation. The eighth day, that new day of the week, the Sunday, if you want, speaks about what God is doing in recreation. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians 5:17, for any one of us tonight, if anyone is in Christ, he's a new creation. Wow. See, the old creation, that's done. The new creation is what Jesus is doing. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Galatians 4:4-11. But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his son, born of a woman, born under the law, meaning Jesus was to fulfill the law, the demands of the law, to redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of his son into your hearts. By the way, the Spirit of his son is none other than the Holy Spirit, who causes you and I to cry out, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir of God through Christ. But then indeed, when you did not know God, you served those which by nature are not gods. But now after you have known God, or rather are known by God, how is it that you turn again to the weak and beggarly elements to which you desire again to be in bondage? You observe days and months and seasons and years. I'm afraid for you, lest I have labored for you in vain. What does he mean by that? Don't start with Jesus' forgiveness and then think that you can now add your holy works to the blood of Christ. Don't do that. You start with Jesus tonight, if you haven't started, and you stay with Jesus because he puts within you the Holy Spirit who causes the true desire to follow God in the Spirit and not in the letter of the law which kills. You will wind up by the power of God walking more holy than those who seek righteousness by the keeping of the law they can never do.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson that takes a look at number 4 of the Ten Commandments. It's undoubtedly the most controversial of the church age dealing with keeping the Sabbath day holy. There's more to come in this lesson from Pastor Jack, so please be sure to join us again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. By the way, in addition to Real Radio, you can check out Pastor Jack on hischannel.com. That's hischannel.com. And look for the program called Journey with Jack Hibbs. That's the name of our half-hour television program, Journey with Jack Hibbs. But did you also know that on Wednesday nights, hischannel.com broadcasts Pastor Jack's midweek study live? That's hischannel.com. That's Wednesday nights at 7:30 West Coast time. Our telephone number here at Real Radio, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.